Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Welcome, my minions, to another episode of the number one Saturday morning internet radio sports talk show. That's right. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. It is so good to have you along, guys, every week, week in and week out. I tell you what, we do a lot of work for this show, and we do it all for you, my minions. And it's so good to have you on board. We've got an exciting show for you today. Let me tell you what, today's show is really, for the most part, yes, we're going to be talking about some other things here and there, but for the most part, our show is dedicated, obviously, coming up here. It is the month of May here in Indianapolis. As you know, The Balance originates here at the Balance Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, and we would be remiss if we didn't have a show dedicated totally to the greatest racing spectacle in the world, and that's the Indianapolis 500. And in what a running it's going to be this year. We had rookie orientation this year. We were down there. We had got some sound bites and stuff. We'll get with you in just a little bit. Also, all the guys from RadioSpeedTalk.com, all of them are going to be dropping in from time to time throughout the show. We're going to start off with Cliff, and then Pete's going to join us, and then Kenny Barr is going to join us as well. We got a very special guest calling in from the Ohio, Mid-Ohio Raceway, and talk with us a little bit about what's going on this year. This is an exciting time of the year. The whole show this today, guys, is that we're going to be talking racing. We're going to be talking about fast cars and a lot of other stuff. You know what? Also joining me right now, and I want to tell you what, I've just got an opportunity to just over the last couple of days to meet this fine gentleman. And, you know, Indy Pro Sports, our partner company here at The Balance, IndyProSports.com, always is looking for great opportunities and new sponsorships. And we stumbled across a man by the name of Miles Fork, who's started a very unique magazine for men. And I know we have women listener guys or girls or whatever. That's okay. They're more than welcome to check this out. But it's a brand new site. I'm going to let him introduce it. We're going to have him featured on Indy Pro Sports and as well as here on The Balance from time to time and talk about what's going on. In the new men's magazine, it's a new online men's magazine called BAMP. And I hope I'm saying that right. But Mr. Miles, welcome to The Balance. It's so glad that you could take time on a Saturday morning to join us today.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We are good. Are you awake? Have you had your coffee?
Oh, yeah. Yep, I'm ready to go.
Ready to go. Ready to rock and roll. Well, tell us about BAMP. What is it?
BAMP magazine, like you said, it's a men's magazine. I mean, we gear it toward educating men on how to be a man. You know, I mean, in sports, you know, the only way to excel in sports is by practicing on being the best, right? Well, you got to have a coach. Well, that's exactly what BAMP magazine is for men, is it's kind of a coach on how to be a man. You know, there's other magazines out there that they say, we really like it for the articles. Well, we try to do that too. You know, we do include, you know, some really hot images in there. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, BAMF magazine is about being a BAMF, and that's an acronym. It's BAMF. I'll let you look that up on Google. It's not safe for work, but, it's an acronym. You know, that's what it is. I mean, BAMF magazine is it's an attitude. It's a way of thinking. It's a magazine that's literally geared toward, you know, educating men on how to be a man. Like one of our articles is like, you know, fashion, you know, like what shoes would you want to wear if you're going out, you know, to dinner or to a nightclub or on a date? We've got articles that are actually written by women, because a lot of girls want their man, you know, to look their best or treat them better. So, like, you know, we'll talk about intimacy, or we'll talk about, you know, first dates, or how to keep, you know, certain people in the loop. We've got, you know, and one of our article writers named Jessie Apollos, and she, you know, she's a really fine writer that's actually here in Indianapolis, and we call her the serial dater. She really is. I mean, she is a serial dater. You know, and we have, you know, the very famous, you know, Hugh Jeffner. He used to go by DJ Orion on a local radio station here in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And he has a hot list, you know, what, you know, what's really hot, what's in the know. You know, we've got, you know, Sheila Ferguson, who writes an article, and she's a very talented, one of the best fashion designers in Indianapolis. And she does all of our fashion stuff. So that's what we do. We really bring, you know, some of the best, you know, people in the city and pull them all together to kind of push out this magazine. It's a digital and it's a free magazine, and you can check it out at BanffMagazine.com.
Now, tell me, and you were talking with me about this the other night when we had an opportunity to meet. Tell me a little bit about your background, because you've got a pretty strong background in the men's magazine industry, as I understand it.
Well, I mean, I've been doing photography for over 15 years, and I've been published in a wide range of men's magazines, from Playboy to Maxim. I've had my stuff in Joker Magazine, Plush. You know, I've probably done over, you know, maybe 200-300 different calendars. But really, I mean, it's not necessarily about me as far as the magazine. I do the majority of all the photography in the magazine, even though I own it. I bring a certain style, I think, to it.
So, how long has Banff Magazine been around? Where does people find Banff on? I'm sure you're on social media, Twitter, Facebook, all of that stuff. And we'll have you up this week. We'll have you up on IndieProSports.com and on TheBalanceOnline.com. But tell us how a person can just find Banff Magazine. BanffMagazine.com, Twitter, Facebook?
Yeah, I mean, we do have Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at Banff Magazine. And like I said, BanffMagazine.com. We are on Facebook. We have a fan page on there. You know, you can add me personally on Facebook, Miles Fork. But, you know, that's a good question, by the way. How long has Banff Magazine been around? It's funny because, you know, we started this magazine based on a concept that we thought should be out there. It started off as a joke because we got kind of a little tired of Indianapolis not really having something that spoke to the 18 to 44-year-old crowd about, you know, a men's interest magazine. I mean, you've got some really good magazines here in the city that are geared toward women or geared towards, you know, the artwork or the fashion industry. There's some fantastic magazines out there like that that are geared toward, you know, sports or you know, the music industry, but nothing was actually done toward men. Now we started this 5 months ago, and our first issue, like I said, we just kind of did it as a joke just to kind of see what was going to go on with it. And we had about maybe 3,000 readers. Today we've got 500,000 readers, and that's just phenomenal to us. You know, I mean, it's asked, you know, for, you know, just a bunch of, you know, misfit people who, you know, have never written articles before. I mean, you know, like, I mean, the people I mentioned before, they're doing such a fantastic job with these articles. And, you know, and the models, we had Heather Shanholtz, very, very famous model that's based out of Miami. She flew in from Japan to be in our May issue.
And she's on your cover.
Yeah, she's on our cover. I mean, she's fantastic. Oh, my gosh. And she's now one of the main spokesmodel for Aphrodisiac Ice Cream, which is run by Justin Price, which is another phenomenal photographer. And I'm telling you, she is smoking. You know, even though this is a free magazine, do not open this at work, my friends. Trust me. Now, the cool part about this is, we think that Banff Magazine is a really good concept because, you know, we are not in print. You cannot find this in a store. But we are delivered directly to your iPhone or your iPad or your email every single day because we do articles on our blog every day. Or, you know, when we do put out our magazine at the end of the month, it's updated and delivered straight to your email. You can open it up, read it on your iPhone, your iPad, or if you've got, you know, an Android tablet or, an Android phone, it's compatible with all of that. You know, because the way that we think is, you know, when's the last time that you have personally bought a magazine? Or when's the last time when you're driving down the road you see a billboard? And how many of us now have like these DVR boxes that you watch your show but you skip straight over the commercials, right? You know, for me, I mean, I love reading. I love my magazines, but I cannot tell you the last time that I have gone to Barnes & Noble or, you know, a store, you know, that's fantastic with all their selection of magazines and picked one up off the shelf. Everything to me is digital. So,
right. Yeah. Right, and I totally agree. We're talking with Miles Fork, and one of the creators, owners of Banff Magazine and IndieProSports.com is going to team up with them a little bit and help them a little bit. They're going to help us out a little bit. And, you know, check them out, guys. And I will tell you this, for those of you who may have young kids that this is not something you want to share with your kids. Am I correct on that?
Well, there's no nudity in the magazine, so let's get that straight. There's
sure,
no nudity.
Right.
There might be some see-through stuff. So yeah, you're not going to share this with kids. No, this is a men's adult entertainment magazine. I mean, think of it like in the lines of like Maxim. Is that better like our Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition?
Yeah. Exactly.
I think it's a little bit more. Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what, guys. If you listen to this show, and all of us, all of my minions here, I'm going to tell you what, Miles, are going to love your magazine. And I've got it up right here in the Balance Studios right now. And I'm going to tell you what, you won't be disappointed. So check it out, Matt. Is it BAMFmagazine.com? Is that what it is?
Yeah, BAMFmagazine.com.
Okay, I wanted to make sure because I had browsed through, so I wanted to make sure I was given the correct address for that. Well, Miles, I appreciate you taking time to join us today. You're always welcome here, and we'll have Banff Magazine up here within the next couple of days on IndieProSports.com. And it's just a pleasure to team up with new and great businesses here in Indianapolis, and we're so glad that you guys are a part of the Balance at IndieProSports.com. We wish you the best of luck. Miles, anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners about Banff Magazine yourself or anything else?
Yeah, I think your listeners need to call in and make sure and check on your pulse, because if you have that magazine up in your studio right now, I don't know how you're going to get through the rest of the show, man.
It's a good point.
We had talked about this off air, which is funny. You know, we are teaming up with IndieProSports.com because we think that you guys are a bunch of BAMFs. You know,
we are.
We know that you guys are some of the best in the industry, and that's why we're teaming up with you. You know, we want to find businesses that are local and international that we can, you know, team up with that is the best, that we consider BAMFs. And here's another thing for your listeners, too, as your minions. You know, we are going to be out with Indie Pro Sports. Our BAMF models will be at sporting events. I think that we're going to be teaming up with you for the Indianapolis 500 on some projects.
Yeah, a lot of fun, yes.
Yeah, and so if you want to be a BAMF model, if you're a girl out there that has wanted a model and you think you have what it takes, take a look at the magazine. Submit your pictures in, because we also have a Facebook contest every single month, and all it takes is people to vote on you. And if you're hot enough, you know, you've got a chance to get in it. And just give you some updates, some dates that we're going to be at. We're going to be at the Cadillac Ranch on May 18th at 10 p.m. We're going to be doing we call it Rodeo at the Ranch. So make sure you get your reservations in for that one. As a lot of our Banff models are going to be there. My entire staff is going to be there. So we're going to get some of our sales associates up on that bull. And you know, like Kevin Chapman, we'll see how long it takes them to be thrown. You know,
exactly.
Maybe, you know what, Tom?
Yeah,
maybe we can get Tom up on that bull. What do you think?
Hey, I tell you what, I will be there. You can be assured that the balance in IndyProSports.com will be there. But you know, hey, you gotta have some fans in the stands, and that's what you'll see with me on that. I'm not getting on that thing. Kevin's more suited for that. Miles Forick, BAMF Magazine. Miles, thanks for joining us. Obviously, we'll be teaming up with him through the Indianapolis 500 and a lot of stuff going on. And of course, for no other reason, come out and check out BAMF Magazine. Well, for the girls, we're not gonna lie, right, Miles?
Right. Oh yeah.
All right,
hey, you'll shake my hand, but your eyes will never leave the girls. Trust me. Because Abigail Duff will be there. You know, Abby McLean. We'll have, maybe Nikki Ryan, who was in Playboy herself. She might be there. We've got, Gabriel Dawson is going to be in the next issue. I think we're going to have Christine Renee Grable will be there. We've got just so many beautiful girls, and I can't even list them all because I think we've had almost 20 or 30 so far in 5 months. We feature about 3 or 4 different girls in that magazine. And this is not like your typical magazine. These are full-page shots, not your little bit. You got to pull out your little magnifying glass, you know?
Yeah.
So
well,
be prepared.
Right. Well, Miles, I hate to cut it short, but we're up against the clock here. We've got a clip with RadioSpeedTalk.com standing by here, and we're going to be jumping right into racing. Miles, thanks so much. We look forward to an exciting time with BAMF Magazine.
You too, buddy.
Thanks. Miles Forick of BAMF Magazine, guys. Check it out, BAMFmagazine.com. We'll be right back because the Indianapolis 500 special is right around the corner. And standing by in the Balance Studios, ready to go with me, is Mr. Cliff with IndyProSports.com. We'll be right back.
For the next chapter of the greatest spectacle in racing, be there.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Here we go again.
The best hits. Best hits.
I demand more.
And the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it, I need it, and I'm gonna have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM, realmsofmusic.com. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
And now it's time to give out the award for the least funny people in the world.
Tune in every week to hear Cliff, Kenny, and Pete.
On the song!
Keep talking.
Right here. Gotta listen to all this. They're rotting my brain.
dive in.
Welcome back to The Balance by Minions. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. It is so glad to have you back on our Indy 500 Racing Special, guys, all day long. We're going to be talking racing, and throughout the show, we've got all the guys from IndyProSports.com jumping on with us today. And I tell you what, we're always honored to have Mr. Cliff on with us from RadioSpeedTalk.com. And Cliff, first of all, I want to tell you that I appreciate you staying awake, waiting for my text, and agreeing to come on this morning.
Hey, man. That's all right, man. Anytime. I enjoy coming on. And I don't know how we're supposed to talk about racing after hearing part of that last guy. I'm ready to jump on this magazine, man. I'm telling you.
I tell you what, you want to check that out, BAMFmagazine.com, man. They are teaming up with us throughout the summer to do some promotions. And I'm just going to tell you this. It is a pleasure. I don't know if my ticker can handle all the events that they've got going on, but it's good to have them. And honestly, seriously, listeners, come out and check us out. We'll be out and about with Banff Magazine throughout the Indianapolis 500 out of the track. And, you don't have to look for us. You don't even have to look for our signage. You can just find all of these geeky-looking guys walking around with all these really hot babes. And there you go. You can find it.
Well, there you go.
Cliff, hey, so glad that you could join us today. Obviously, our focus is on IndyCar, and we've got a lot of racing to talk about, and obviously there's some other races going on too. But here in Indianapolis, the month of May has begun. Rookie orientation was this past week, and you know, it was a great day down at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for Rookie Day, and here's some of the sounds from Rookie Day, and we'll be right back.
I think today went great for us. We were able to get through the program exactly how we wanted to. We wanted to make it real clean. We didn't want to waste too much time, and if we didn't have any complications, we were hoping to get through it, fairly quickly. And I think that's what we did today. We had a good car. It was prepped perfectly, as it always has been. I think SFHR have done a beautiful job of building race cars this year. Speed's not been our issue, and reliability's not been our issue. The team's just very on it. They know what they need to do with the car, and they're comfortable now. So, we're going to get Brian out as well, and I think Brian's going to have a clean run. But, for us, we're feeling good about our start. We can go into Saturday feeling good. It's different. It's different than the lights car. You notice things a lot more in the Indy car. The wind is a bigger factor. You can notice the wind change a lot more. I think problems in the car are magnified even more in the Indy car, and they'll only get worse if you don't solve them. So it's interesting to see how it works compared to a lights car, but I think everything's just elevated a little bit. You notice everything a little bit more, and it's just that next level up, really.
I did have fun. It was a great feeling all together. To be very honest with you, I thought that the day at Texas actually helped me out here. So it wasn't my first experience, because Texas, in a way, it's kind of a more difficult because of the banking, because it's the compression. It's really bad into the body. But then it's the difficulty here is that then you don't have the banking to have the grip.
Right.
But so I think that coming from here to there would have been a different sensation, and I think coming from there to here allow me to think what is a novel, what is this walls means being so close, and this track is more flowing, so it's really four corners, and I just took it as it came, and I think the rookie orientation is a great thing, because it doesn't allow us to go to try to be brave and just show everyone in the first lap. So you have to face yourself, and then you're able just to step by step get it to. It was wide open, and we trimmed a little bit, but my engineers, I was kind of excited with the fact that I said we can trim a little bit more, and then they said, well, we had a good day, so let's talk about it and see what we can do for next time.
Fantastic. I'm very, very happy. It was tough at the beginning. You know, the cars are not made to go at 200 miles an hour, so getting up to speed, the car sliding around and moving around, and it's hard to really have the proper line. But as the speed was coming up, it was better, you know. The team did a really, really good job. The car is very stable, easy to drive, so at the end I was really, really enjoying being out there. Yes, it is awesome, and, you know, I'm not going to tell you it feels like yesterday that I was here, but it feels not too long ago, you know. Just very, very happy.
Good. Yeah, it was very interesting, actually. It's very much like a road course with four really high-speed corners. And, yeah, approaching the corners at very high speed, and it's you to control yourself more than controlling the car. The car is easier to drive fast than it is at 200 miles an hour. So when you actually get up to 214, like I did at the end, 215, then the car is more stuck on the ground. It's a little bit easier to drive, a little bit easier to feel as well. Until you get to that point, it's a little bit numb. You don't know what to expect. So it's just confidence level getting up to that speed and understanding what the oval is all about, so the lines. And I got to run with some people, so it was very interesting. I feel like I've got a lot more experience today, tonight.
All right, some sights and sounds from out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway this past week at Rookie Orientation Day. Obviously, the first monumental day where the track is open and cars are on the track. And I don't know about you, Cliff, but there's just something about that sound out at Indianapolis Motor Speedway as you're talking to drivers and cars going by, and just the whole feeling of being at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in the month of May is a very special feeling. I don't know about you, Cliff, but I'm excited to have May here in Indianapolis.
Oh, man, I'm always excited. I get chills talking about it because, you know, it's such a great prestigious race. And, you know, I'm going to put Indianapolis on the map, that's for sure. But, you know, I got to tell you, man, listen to those guys. And, I mean, I don't know how you would feel, Tom, but if I was a rookie on the Indianapolis 500 for the first time, I don't know if I could drive. I'd be so excited and so chill. I mean, what do you do, man? But, you know, it's a good job. That's what they do. And it sounds to me like there's going to be some pretty good confidence coming from them boys this May.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there's some good teams out there. Well, let's talk a little bit about a local girl here, Sarah Fisher. Sarah Fisher Racing has two rookies in the Indianapolis 500. So, you know, you think about it like this from a team owner who has to develop a young driver and has to really, you know, spend a lot of time with them, especially here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, because it's unlike any other track in the world, not just for the history, but, you know, as you heard them say, this is a track that you definitely have to respect, because one thing about it is it may seem very big to us walking around it, but when you're driving around it at 200, 217 miles an hour, that is a blink of an eye. And if you are not alert and respect that track, you know, to coin a phrase, all hell can break loose very quickly. So for a team owner who's got a lot of money invested in not one race car, but now we have two race cars, and, you know, a lot of times you've got a veteran driver that is there that can help out the other rookie, to help out the rookie. But in this situation, you've got a Sarah Fisher who is obviously knows what she's doing in her own right and her team, but to have two rookies in the Indianapolis 500 is a monumental task.
Oh, it's huge, and if anybody could do it, it's Sarah Fisher. And I've always felt bad for Sarah because I think she was always better than what she showed. You know, it's just, again, one of the things you get with the right team, you know, with the right car. You know, talking to her in the past and things like that, she's a great teacher. And if anybody can pull off a two-rookie team, it'll be her. But you're right, man. You got to be constantly watching it, you know, what's going on. And you know, I mean, look at the finish last year with J.R. Hildebrand. So, and you got to respect it. And if anybody could teach him, I think it's Sarah. But, you know, that's got to be tough for her, thinking, oh, my God, is that going to crash here? You know, but I think she can pull it off, you know, and I'm looking forward to it. And it's great to see her being as successful as she's been. I mean, you know, last year she was struggling with one team. Now she's got two. I mean, that's just awesome. And congrats to Ms. Fisher on that one.
And absolutely. And you talk about the evolving of the teams and just the whole – the whole thing of what's come down. And you know, the other night, I was had the opportunity to talk, and I won't mention their name because they asked that I not. But I had an opportunity to speak with someone affiliated with Sarah Fisher Racing, and just some of the things that happened in off season. I mean, there was really no bad blood for Ed Carpenter, and we'll get into him in just a minute. But obviously now he's got his own team, and he's doing his own thing. But there was a time there where Sarah Fisher really didn't know how or if it was all going to come together, and there was a time where, you know, there were some tense moments there surrounding Dollar General and sponsorships, some big dollar things. So for Sarah Fisher, you know, a lot of things behind the scenes that a lot of people don't know took place that this season almost didn't happen. But I tell you what, I admire that girl. And then you throw in the mix that she just had a baby. I tell you what, she retired from IndyCars back in 2010. She's never been too far away from the track since retiring. So I tell you what, she has just really exemplifies, well, you know, a female racer, a mom, a wife, a team owner, and then the compound that to have two rookies in the Indianapolis 500 this year, just an amazing feat. And obviously she was the first female team owner to compete in the Izod IndyCar Series in October of 2011, just weeks after the birth of her daughter Zoe. So I tell you what, it's just an amazing story, and that kind of merges us into Ed Carpenter, obviously a natural fit there as well. And I don't know how much more time that you have with us, Cliff, because I know you're very busy and you've got to get your grandson, I believe, to a bowling tournament. Is that what you said?
Yeah, we're on our way to Elkhart, Indiana right now, as a matter of fact. So.
Oh, okay. Well, Carpenter left at the end of the 2011 season, as we just said, to form his own team. But tell us a little bit how you think that let's face it, with the new chassis and as expensive as running a team in itself is, it's a rich man's game. Is the Indianapolis 500 really where Ed Carpenter needs to be cutting his teeth at?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. It takes cojones to do that right off the bat. I mean, it's a tough thing to cut into. But, you know, like you said, it's a rich man's game. And if he's got the backing, and, you know, Ed Carpenter is not a bad driver either. I mean, he's actually pretty good. He can win. We've seen him do it with last year. So, I don't know, man. I'd be a little worried about doing that because you're getting out there trying to, you know, get it all in place. But, man, I don't know. I have to agree with you, Tom. It's kind of scary. But you know what? Again, you know, he's got a lot of grit and a lot of guts. And if anybody can make it work, it'd probably be him.
And I couldn't agree with you more. And I like Ed, too. He's just a good personal guy. He's a good family guy. I really do like him. I've had the opportunity to talk with him numerous times. And he's just a fun guy to be around. So, you know, to be a team owner driver is a big responsibility. But like you said, if anybody can do it, it's him. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the other races that might be going on this weekend. And I'm just going to open mic it with you, Cliff, because I know you got just a little bit amount of time with us. So I want to make sure that we extract as much valuable information from Cliff's brain as possible. So around the other racing series or just IndyCar, what's on your mind today? What's on Cliff's mind? You know what? I got to say this. What are the Cliff notes for today?
Cliff notes for today. Wow. Well, I tell you, man, it was a pretty exciting finish last night at the Darlington Nationwide race. Joey Logano wins two in a row. That was pretty interesting. And Danica, you know, they've been so much hype about Danica getting on there for the first time on Darlington and how intimidated she was. I got to give her credit, man. She finished 12th, but we'll see how she can do it with the big boys. Although Tony Stewart's made sure she's locked in for a position so she don't really have to qualify. But it'll be an interesting race tonight. By the way, I wanted to say Happy Mother's Day to everybody, too, not to, to switch up on that. But, man, I'm telling you, I'm so juiced about the Indy 500, though, Tom. I can't wait to get down here and watch some of this action, man.
Well, we're...
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we're excited to have you here, and obviously I'm sure that we'll run into each other and stuff down at the track and various different events here in the Indianapolis area. And the good thing for you is you're only just a short drive away down 69, and you can be here in a short amount of time. And we look forward to having you on board. Anything else as far as the NHRA series or anything else? What are some of the things that Radio Speed Talk is covering on their show this week? What's going on there?
Well, we talked a lot about the NHRA. We talked a lot about what happened in Talladega. I got to tell you, though, man, Ron Capps finally dethroned the John Force. And, quite interesting, some of the things he said about that. But, you know, Mike Neff, you know, we've been talking about how some big-name drivers – haven't been able to, you know, or they're in the funny car division that don't seem to be, you know, making the chase, no matter what it may be. But, you know, Mike Neff, again, another Force driver, you know, they've been so fortunate to get away with that so far. But it's again, you know, the funny car is, last year was a great series to watch, very competitive. This year it is too, but man, there's been a lot of big name guys not making the race, and it's been at least one a week. So it'll be fun. But I still Force, you know, John Force Racing, and I heard you talk to him last week. But he's still a guy to be reckoned with. So Top Fuel, man, there's a lot of guys coming on. So keep an eye on NHRA, man. I think we're going to have some of the most exciting finishes in the NHRA that we've seen in years.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you. Yeah, you're right. John Force was an unexpected surprise, but I will tell you what, I will take those kind of surprises in radio any day of the week. So, yeah, it was great to have him. Well, I tell you what, I don't know. We'll end with the segment with this, with Clip. Real quickly, Clip, where can people find you? Obviously, RadioSpeedTalk.com. Do you have any you don't Twitter. Ken does, but you don't. And I know Pete thinks it's up the devil.
No.
So.
Well, Pete's got an issue with all kinds of things that requires technology. But no, I'm just kidding. Pete's a great guy. He's a great – I mean, that man can run the board like anybody I've ever seen. But, no, I'm on Radio Speed Talk, too. You can catch me. I'm almost on here every race day at least. But I throw out some Twitter. So Radio Speed Talk, too. Obviously, you can catch us on Facebook, especially at Speed Talk. And now make sure you go over there here – because we got some ticket giveaways coming up, Michigan International Speedway. We're going to be giving away tickets for that. We still got the EMCO Classic Grand Am race over in Mid-Ohio. So yeah, that's how you get a hold of us, man. But, yeah, we'll be checking out. We'll be seeing you soon, Tom.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Cliff at RadioSpeedTalk.com. Guys, we'll be right back on our special today dedicated to the Indianapolis 500. 2 hours of race talk right around the corner is, believe it or not, Cliff Pete. And he'll be right with us here as when we get back from the break. At least I hope I've been told that he'll be on. Cliff, enjoy your bowling day and your time with the family. And, again, happy Mother's Day to your wife and so forth.
All right, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you.
Thank you.
All right.
In 2012, we selected the Corvette ZR1 to pace the Indianapolis 500. It's the 11th Corvette to serve as the official pace car for the Indy 500. It's also the 23rd Chevrolet. Chevrolet has had a long and storied history here at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, dating all the way back to the opening days of the racetrack in 1911.
Indy fans are going to love the ZR1 as the 2012 pace car. It's a beautiful car, you know, 638 horsepower. Indy fans understand the speed, and this car is going to look beautiful out in front of the field. The role of the pace car in the Indianapolis 500-mile race is to start the race at a controlled speed, and hence the name pace. So the pace car has been a part of this event for over 100 years now, and a very important part of this event.
Could he be the next rookie winner of the Indy 500.
J.R. Hildebrand down along the white line.
They said 2011 was the best finish ever.
Muttering slow and he hits the wall. Will he have enough to cross the yard of bricks? Dan Weldon has won the race.
They say that every year. Tickets are on sale now for the next chapter of the greatest spectacle in racing. Be there.
Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indy Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indy Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
From early morning till late into the night.
It's a whole new way of life.
24/7, the hits are non-stop.
Let's hear it.
WROM, realmsofmusic.com. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
All right, welcome back, my minions. My name's Saul Marquis, El Presidente. And in case you haven't figured it out and put two and two together, it is the month of May, and we are talking racing all 2 hours, guys. This entire show is dedicated to IndyCar, to racing in general. But we're going to spend a lot of time talking about this year, the 2012 Indianapolis 500, and we've got with us throughout the entire show, yes, our guys and our friends from over at RadioSpeedTalk.com, and I'm hoping here soon that we have Pete on the line with us here very soon, I hope. Pete LaFuchsia of RadioSpeed.com is supposed to be joining us, and we'll try to catch up with him here any moment, guys. Well, certainly, hey, we want to talk with you. If you've got any talks about the Indianapolis 500, your thoughts on this year's 500, the rookies, or anything really, for that matter, we're here to answer your questions. 917-889-8516. You can also follow us on Twitter, T Balance, and on Facebook, The Balance. You know, hey guys, you know, racing, I tell you what, and you know, living here in Indianapolis, it's just, you know, as Cliff alluded to earlier, it just gives you chills to hear the cars go by, and just the whole action of the IndyCar series. You know, I was had the unique opportunity to last summer, and we'll try to do a lot of it again this summer. But as you know, here on The Balance, we had the opportunity to travel to a lot of races with the IndyCar series last year, and got a chance to talk with a lot of the different drivers and really get an opportunity to get to know them and on a personal level and on a professional level, and just, you know, a lot of fun. Well, let's talk a little bit about, we talked just briefly, we played a soundbite about this year's rookies and what went on down there at the rookie orientation day. You know, I always like to see the rookies jump on board with this. And you know what? In case you missed that, what we're going to do is, because I'm trying to get Pete on the line here. So, Pete, where you at? We're going to replay that rookie soundbite. I'll be right back, and we'll hopefully have Pete on the line.
I think today went great for us. We were able to get through the program exactly how we wanted to. We wanted to make it real clean. You know, we didn't want to waste too much time, and you know, if we didn't have any complications, we were hoping to get through it, you know, fairly quickly. And I think that's what we did today. We had a good car. It was prepped perfectly, as it always has been. I think SFHR have done a beautiful job of building race cars this year. You know, speed's not been our issue, and reliability's not been our issue. The team's just very on it. They know what they need to do with the car, and they're comfortable now. So, you know, we're going to get Brian out as well, and I think Brian's going to have a clean run. But, you know, for us, we're feeling good about our start. We can go into Saturday feeling good. It's different. It's different than the lights car. You know, you notice things a lot more in the Indy car. The wind is a bigger factor. You can notice the wind change a lot more. I think problems in the car are magnified even more in the Indy car, and they'll only get worse if you don't solve them. So it's interesting to see how it works compared to a lights car, but I think everything's just elevated a little bit. You notice everything a little bit more, and it's just that next level up, really.
I did have fun. It was a great feeling all together. To be very honest with you, I thought that the day at Texas actually helped me out here. So it wasn't my first experience, because Texas, in a way, it's kind of a
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me? Tom? I'm there.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
You know what? Let me tell you, I've been in radio a long time, and when I first started in radio, they told me the very most important thing that you can do is turn on your mic. Well, I didn't do that. I'm good for that at least once a show, as my minions will tell you. You know, whenever you hear a dead air and you hear somebody else trying to respond, one can only assume that I didn't turn on my mic. So, welcome to The Balance, Pete. Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. You know, I was calling you a slacker, and I was doing that, I was looking at the show notes, and I guess you weren't due to call in till 10 o'clock, were you?
Right, I know. My wife comes running out. I'm doing some stuff on my truck, and she goes, yeah, he's, like, wanting you to call now. I'm like, oh, crap. I was going to log on and listen to the 10 minutes previous, which is what I usually do.
Totally my fault. You know, I was just over-anxious to talk with you today because, you know, we got a whole show dedicated to racing. And, you know, I was just going to go right from one speed talk guy to the next. And, Yeah, I didn't realize I was supposed to feel like 15 minutes of myself. It's hard for me to talk to myself. No, I'm just kidding. I have no problem doing that.
I was going to say there's a lot of professionals out there that make a living doing that. They talk to their staff and don't let their staff on the air. So.
Absolutely. You know, and we do have a great team here at The Balance and, of course, IndyProSports.com. You know, you said you didn't hear the first part of the show, but, you know, we've teamed up with Banff Magazine here in town, BanffMagazine.com, and dude, you're going to have to check that out. I would get clearance from your wife first. I'll just say that.
My wife and I are pretty cool about that stuff.
and they're going to be
not swingers, so don't touch that.
Well, that's good to know. Thanks for letting us know that, because we all were sitting here thinking, hey, we bet Pete and his wife are swingers.
Oh yeah.
We digress on this show, don't we? Well, guys, hey, we are talking about racing. The Indianapolis 500 is, just right around the corner. The month of May has begun right here in Indianapolis. Today in Indianapolis, the Chase 500 Festival Kids Day and the Chase 500 Festival Rookie Run. And the opening day for the 2012 practice is today, Mr. Pete LaFuchsia. So let's talk a little bit about the Indianapolis 500, and we've been talking about the rookies, and we've been talking about, you know, Sarah Fisher, and we've been talking about Ed Carpenter. So let me ask you this. What are some of the things about this year's race that stand out to you? Obviously, this is a race where we've got a new chassis on board, and we've got several new rookies, and it's a historical race for the Indianapolis 500. So we've got a lot of stuff going on a lot of different levels. So, Pete, talk with us a little bit about what's on your mind as far as this year's Indianapolis 500.
Well, it's definitely got to be everything that has to do with the vehicles, the new chassis. We've got Chevy back in for the first time in several years, and that little glitch they had, about a month ago, which turned out to be not as much of a glitch as was being reported, but it's still, I mean, if there's concerns and they take an engine out, you know there's got to be something there. I mean, you don't have smoke without a little bit of fire. I mean, it may not have been a big fire, but it was a fire nonetheless of some sort. So it's going to be interesting to see if the same type of issues pop up in the Indy 500 with the first practice. It's going to be good to see who's doing well with this, because if I'm not mistaken, this is the first time we're going to see this chassis on a track, because they're using the road course versus the oval and flat track type courses. So it's going to be interesting to see that. I'm excited. I can't wait to get done with yard work so I can log on to the internet and kind of see how people are doing in practice. You mentioned Sarah Fisher. Refresh me. Is there some issues going on with her? I hadn't really looked into that, but definitely one of my faves in Indy history. So I didn't know if there was something going on with her or there.
Thing is, she's got two rookie drivers this year. We were just talking about what a monumental feat that is for her. And, you know, the other night had the opportunity to talk with, and I'm not going to mention their name because they asked me not to, but I had the opportunity to talk with some people affiliated, the evening of rookie orientation. And they had an opportunity to talk with me a little bit about some things that happened with Sarah Fisher off the course. And you know, really, there was a time there where she was stressing sponsorship and so forth. So for her to put together two teams with two drivers a brand new mom and just a lot of things. So that's what we were talking about, just to bring you up to speed on that, sir.
All right. Well, yeah, that is so to say, ballsy move. Two rookies, especially when you had sponsorship issues the previous couple of years. But I think this is where Sarah Fisher is going to shine, is that in being a car owner. Not to say, take anything away from her as a driver. I really wish that she would have got with a good team, because I think some of the Danica mania that we've heard over the years may have started a little earlier with her, and she's got some skills. I mean, and plus, you know, she's got skills when her family believes in her enough to that her dad, when the year she didn't have a ride, he went out and cashed out his 401k and told her, you just got to qualify so I can break even with the payout. So that's good right there. It's good to see she's helping, because what was one of the other issues that we were hearing about so much is there going to be a full field of 33 cars on there. And you know what? Her stepping up and saying, you know what, I'm going to put out two cars and I'm going to have two rookies. That right there, I can't think of the person's name, but nod of the head to her, like, yeah, there, kudos for you doing that. Because, you know, sometimes it's a good thing that a race team can go back and find somebody who's been doing it for years and years but maybe doesn't have the passion for it. But then they're robbing the future of potential seat time and track time that is needed, and doing that with two rookies, that right there. I mean, she may be starting the mold for a potential superstar in the open wheel.
Absolutely. And we look at the two people that Sarah Fisher Hartman Racing have. We'll talk about Brian Clausen. You're very familiar with Brian Clausen, obviously. A local boy here in Indiana. I grew up in Noblesville. Made a name in the USAC racing community. And obviously had an opportunity to run last year in the Indy Lights Series. But, you know, obviously he's a young kid. I like him. Had an opportunity to talk with Brian many occasions last year, and I really like him. I had an opportunity to talk to him more so in the USAC series, you know, he's won the past two USAC midget and overall titles, and fifth in Indy Lights race last year at IMS. So he's had an opportunity to obviously drive out there at the IMS, and Brian Clausen is a driver that's up and coming, and we will talk a little bit about the Indy Lights series here in a moment too, but another up-and-coming driver from the Indy Lights Series. You look at a lot of the drivers that came from the Indy Lights Series, Hinchcliffe and, you know, Pittman Man, and you look at, you know, some of the others, and the new one that I like as well out there in the Indy Lights Series, the Firestone Indy Lights Series, is David Estella. But let's talk a little bit about Brian Clausen. And obviously he's in the number 39 Honda out there this year at the Indianapolis 500. What are your thoughts about Brian Clausen in his first year out there at the Indianapolis 500?
Well, the kid is proven. He knows how to drive a car. One heck, like you reiterated his resume, and I'm not going to sit here and repeat it. Great kid. Great to see we got a nice hometown kid doing well. I think that he – where – Weldon beat, oh gosh, who's the gentleman who crashed last year? He was a rookie. Oh man, my brain is drawing a fart. I think Clausen is probably got a good chance as a rookie of winning the 500. I mean, he did well in everything he's ever gotten in. And again, like you said, it is kind of historic with this new type of chassis they've got, so therefore what we've got is not only the rookies are driving it for the first time, you've got the veterans, Helio, all of them are really for the first time getting into this type of vehicle, so it kind of levels the playing field. So there's where I think we got a good chance of a rookie doing well and possibly winning the 500, and correct me if I'm wrong, we've never had a rookie, other than the first one, we've never had a rookie win the 500, have we?
I do not believe so, but that is a good question that we'll find an answer to. Maybe one of our listeners know and give us a call, 917-889-8516. Well, let's talk a little bit more about Sarah Fisher's race team. And we look at Josve. I don't know how to say it. I'm not even going to try. I just know how to say his last name, Newgarden. Sarah, he won the Indy Lights Series last year at IMS, and I again had an opportunity. I personally like the Indy Lights Series. It's one of my personal favorite races, and I like those guys. I like those young kids. I like to be able to talk with them. So, you know, they don't get a lot of attention. They don't get a lot of limelight. But I like to spend time out in the garage, because I tell you what, go out there to the garage and you spend some time out there at the Indy Lights garage, and you're going to get to talk to the drivers and the owners, and it's just fun. It's fun, and it's fun.
And that's where you talk to the future of the sport. And actually, I've looked it up. It is on IndianapolisMotorSpeedway.com, 8 rookies have won the Indianapolis 500.
Well, see, that shows you how much we know.
Wow. I did 8 in how many runnings? I would have guessed 1 the first year and maybe 1 or 2 more a couple years later. But, yeah, that's quite a bit.
Well, yeah, going back
to
you.
The last one would have been Helio Castroneves in 2000 and Juan Pablo Montoya in 2000. Or Helio in 2001, Juan Pablo in 2000. So that right there shows that even through modern time, we've got rookies winning the race.
And I think we've got – and you made a very good point there about Sarah Fisher racing. And, you know, we don't want to spend the whole show talking about Sarah Fisher, although we probably could very easily. But I like Newgarden. And if there's a rookie out there that can stand out to me that has a very good opportunity of winning, let's look at it. You know, last year he was Indy Lights winner. He won the Indy Lights winner, I'm sorry, at IMS. I apologize. And he was the season champion too. But he started in front row at Long Beach last month, but of course he was taken out in the first corner. But that's neither here nor there. The thing is, he has the ability to get out front of the pack, and you're right, you nailed it, Pete. This race is for the veterans to really come out and shine, and they do everything they can do. You look at the Julios, the Tony Kanans, and you look at Franchetti, and you look at all the other type of drivers that have been there for many years. It's difficult for the rookies, but if there's anybody that can do it, I like Newgarden as well. Well, let's talk about some of the other things that are going out. Let's look at some of the historical things and the aspects of some storylines of the Indianapolis 500. And one of the things that come to my mind is 33, really just a number. The Indianapolis 500 starting field has consisted of 11 rows of three since 1934, except for the rare or extenuating circumstances where there's not been a year in, you know, the post-war era and so forth, in which there's not been there wasn't enough entries to fill the 33-car field. I think we'll have 33 cars. You know, I talked with one of your guys earlier a couple of weeks ago that I didn't know if 33 cars would qualify. We certainly have. We have 34 entries, so somebody's not going to make it. But the thing is, do you think everybody's going to get up to the required speed, Pete, to make the 33 cars? I'm curious. I am curious to see. I think this year's CARB day and qualification day, and especially poll day this year, is going to be more interesting than any year we've probably seen in the past. So I ask you, and I propose this question to you, Pete: is 33 really just a number?
It's tradition. I mean, you said started in 34, so right there, why mess with what they've done? I mean, people have asked in the past, why not expand it? These cars have gotten smaller. They could brake better, so they could fit more on pit row. I think that, yeah, 33 is just a number. It would be nice to see them continue it, but then also if they don't make it, to answer your question, will we have some people that don't get up to speed? Yeah, at first I don't think we'll have them get up to speed, but here's what we're looking at. There is a lot of money to be made just by qualifying for the Indy 500. So therefore, what team that is just a couple miles an hour under is not knocking on the door of Penske or any of the other teams and saying, okay, what do you got that can help us get up here? We're obviously not a threat for you. I mean, the old term money talks, BS walks, that's what's going to happen. There's going to be some money out there, and it goes back to what I said before about Sarah Fisher just having to qualify. There's a lot of money to be made just in qualifying. You can look at any other – I mean, one of the biggest arguments in NASCAR is this start and park. Well, you know what? If there wasn't so much money, people wouldn't be doing it, okay? We've interviewed drivers that have had to, quote-unquote, start and park, and they say, yes, as a driver, we don't like doing that, but guess what? As a team owner, they can't ruin the stuff, and there's a lot of money to be made right there. So, again, this would basically boils down to is there's a lot of money to be made, and any team that's really close to making it is going to find some money, and they're going to find a way to find the speed. Because if there's one thing about racing, it's not how good of a driver you are, it's how fast your car is. And speed costs money. How much money do you have can tell you how fast you want to go.
Oh, absolutely. And let's talk about that. I mean, what you know what, Pete, I tell you what, you are one in the universe with me. You are my Dalai Lama. Let me tell you that. Because
I am.
I mean, it's just a perfect segue into what I was wanting to talk about next with you. I tell you what, dude, man, it does not get any better than you. You are I'm just going to start calling you the Dalai Lama of racing. How's that sound?
I'm Pete Siddhartha.
Hey guys, you're listening to The Ballast, and you know what? We're dedicating 2 hours of talk about the Indianapolis 500. Well, racing in general, but you know what? It's the month of May. The track is open. The first day of practice is today. You know, and what a better opportunity! And I really wanted to do the show down there, Pete, at the Indianapolis 500 Media Center, which is absolutely beautiful and state of the art. And if I want to do a show there, that's the place to do it. Well, I don't want to get into it because we love our credentials out there. I don't want to say anything bad about the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but there are certain networks monopolize or pay their way, or however you want to say. Basically, I won't be allowed to do my show down there. So just to put it, just you know, that
shows
you.
Well, you know, we'll get you in at MIS. Believe me, Cliff and I. As much as I love the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and nothing to take away from any current management or past management,
sure.
Man, there are some tracks out there that really love people, and they love us coming to doing shows, and that's why we bend over backwards. There, I've had hate mail tell me, why are you guys always talking about MIS? Why are you always talking about Mid-Ohio? Why do you always talk about Chicagoland and Kansas? Well, because they're nice to us. That's what it is. You nice to us, we nice about you.
You nice to us, we nice to you. And you know what? Speaking of Mid-Ohio, we've got you would do this to me. You would bring up Mid-Ohio, and you were no longer my Dalai Lama. You were no longer one in my universe.
That could be a wrong name or something.
No, I can't find the name, and I had
hold
the name.
On. It's Brett Robick.
Brett Robick, Vice President of Sales and Operations over at Mid-Ohio. He's going to be calling us here.
I was trying to get you Jesse, but he's actually in a wedding. So not his wedding. He's just part of a wedding.
He's
the guy we usually talk to. So.
It's cool. You know what? I love talking with guys from all over the track, but it is the Indianapolis 500s. We got the first day of full practice. 7 full practice days, obviously, leading up to qualifying. The track will open up all the drivers, you know, from noon to 6 today. And you better bet your britches, Pete LaFuchsia, I will be down there.
If you're betting my britches, you're betting some really big ones.
Yeah. You went there. I didn't go there.
Believe me. Nobody makes more fun of their being fat than me.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that let's look at what we could see. And, you know, one of the things, and I don't want to steal all my thunder that I had reserved for one Mr. Kenny Barr at 10:30, but I do want to talk about the Hondas versus Chevrolet, which, you know, obviously Honda won the latest and final ruling in the turbocharger modification hearings. But some feel that's what the tips the engine speed scales. Honda versus Chevrolet, Indianapolis 500. How much of a difference is the manufacturer making in this type of a race, Pete?
Well, go back into the history. Chevy hasn't been in the sport in how long? Several years. This is their first year back. That's going to be a big difference. Honda, they've got all the cards. Chevy is coming back in. It's like George Foreman coming out of retirement in boxing, okay? When he first came out, really wasn't that great. But you know what? It took a little while, then he gained up to speed, and he was up to par. That's what it boils down to. They've been out for a while. It's great to see him back. I would love to see Ford. I'd love to see some of the other people that have been traditionally in the open wheel for Indy back in there. But it also takes time, okay? When Dodge came back into NASCAR, took a while for them to get a win, for them to catch up to speed. Chevy, it's going to be the same thing. When Honda came into the IRL and open wheel, they weren't as hot like they are now. It took a while. People actually thought it was a joke. I remember when Honda got into Indy, and that, I want to say that was, what, 91, 92? People are like, oh, this is a joke. They're never going to make it. Well, you know what? Flash forward 20 years. Are those people even remembering they said that same thing? So it is a have and have not situation this year. Next year, is it going to be the same? No. I think they're going to learn a lot. Again, they pulled those engines. Why? Because they thought there was a little glitch there. They just wanted to make sure that they have all their ducks in a row, to put it in that sense. And, man, am I throwing out the cliches today, aren't I?
Dude, I'm going to tell you what. You are cliche of the –
holy cow, yeah. Well, you know what? I'm thinking outside of the box, and I'll revisit it later, and then I'll throw it on the wall and see what sticks.
Well, you know, we're standing by here, and I want to get to a break here. So we're going to go ahead and take a break because I think we have our guy from Brett calling in at 10:15, correct?
Mm-hmm. I think that's what time I text you. I'd have to find my phone again.
That's all right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, guys, and when we get back – we're going to hopefully be talking in the very near future about 10:15 to Brett from Mid-Ohio Racetrack. I tell you what, my brain is fried today. I'm just anxious to get out there to the track.
And you're only 1 hour into the show.
And I'm only 1 hour. I got another hour to go. I got Kenny Barr coming up at 10:30.
He can host the show for you. Just
I know. I got. I just
ask
got
him
to
a question.
Back,
so
put it
he's going to win.
put it in autopilot. Well, guys, you know, as you know, and I'm getting ready to go into another break with this very same bumper here. But the Indianapolis 500 has the new Chevrolet Corvette back on the pace car, Pete. Man, and you know what? The dude driving that is the guy from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives or whatever his name,
oh,
Guy.
Okay.
Yeah, the spiky hair guy. Yeah. Man, wouldn't it be nice to have him in your backyard 500 cookout? Guys, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Balance, our racing special dedicated to the Indianapolis 500. We'll be right back.
In 2012, we selected the Corvette ZR1 to pace the Indianapolis 500. It's the 11th Corvette to serve as the official pace car for the Indy 500. It's also the 23rd Chevrolet. Chevrolet has had a long and storied history here at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, dating all the way back to the opening days of the racetrack in 1911.
Indy fans are going to love the ZR1 as the 2012 pace car. It's a beautiful car. You know, 638 horsepower. Indy fans understand the speed, and this car is going to look beautiful out in front of the field. The role of the pace car in the Indianapolis 500-mile race is to start the race at a controlled speed, and hence the name pace. So the pace car has been a part of this event for over 100 years now, and a very important part of this event.
Muttering slow, and he hits the wall. Will he have enough to cross the yard of bricks? Dan Weldon has won the race.
They say that every year. Tickets are on sale now for the next chapter of the greatest spectacle in racing. Be there.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
All right, my minions, welcome back to the balance. My name is Tom-Mark LaSalle, Presidente, and I know what you're asking yourself. You're saying, well, he always plays some really cool bumper music coming in out of a break. Well, I wanted to do this salute to Dan Weldon. Obviously, we know that he tragically lost his life, there's no easy way to go into this. I had a very good opportunity to get to know Dan and to know him on a personal level. And I would say one of the hardest things ever for a race team or a race fan or a family member, obviously, is to have a racing career, especially one so legendary as Dan Weldon. And it was one of the hardest things for me as a radio guy, and I always have a lot of fun, and I'm really lighthearted, and you know that. But unfortunately, sometimes in racing, it brings a serious side of us, and that happened with Dan Weldon and his tragic loss of his life out in Las Vegas. So what we're going to do here, real quickly, is we're going to have a quick salute to Dan Weldon and his time in the Indianapolis 500.
In his honor. It will take place in approximately 10 minutes. Thank you.
And here we are, on the track, everybody lined up along pit lane, and there is the field of 19 cars that survived that horrific crash and made it through for the 5-lap salute to Dan Weldon. When they begin this 5 laps, folks, we're just going to sit back and reflect with you.
you know, there's never a good time to bring that segment to a close. Dan Weldon, one of the greatest Indianapolis IndyCar drivers ever. Like I said, I consider Dan a friend, and I think many, many people did, and especially in the media. He was so friendly, and, you know, we couldn't do a show, especially in 2012, dedicated to racing without taking time to remember Dan Weldon. And, you know, obviously he left his two-year-old son, Sebastian Daniel Weldon, and his wife. And, you know, you never really know why these things happen. And I'm sure that many of you know that Dan passed away last year in Las Vegas in a violent 15-car wreck at the IndyCar season finale out in Las Vegas. He was a native of Great Britain, 33 years old. He'll be remembered as much for his engaging personality off the track as his dominating skills on the track. Dan Weldon, we miss you, we love you, and it won't be the same without you. We'll be right back, and we'll jump right back into the show here on, hey, it's Indy 500. It's the month of May, and I think Dan would want us to go on and then celebrate the month of May here in Indianapolis.
Could he be the next rookie winner of the Indy 500?
J.R. Hildebrand, down along the white line.
They said 2011 was the best finish ever.
Muttering slow, and he hits the wall. Will he have enough to cross the yard of bricks?
Dan Weldon has won the race.
They say that every year. Tickets are on sale now for the next chapter of the greatest spectacle in racing. Be there.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
And like Bruce Lee, I got the clout, yeah.
Welcome back to The Balance, my minions. My name is Tom Marquess, El Presidente. It is so good to have you on board, guys. It is our racing show. We do this every year. And those of you that are familiar with the Balance, we have always taken care of our race fans. And this is none other. Every year on opening day, racing Saturday, the first, we always talk about the Indianapolis 500 and racing. I believe joining me now is Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Josh, how you doing, sir?
I am doing well, Tom. I'm planning on seeing you a little bit later on tonight, hopefully down at Victory Field. Since we're on the racing show, Tom, I don't know if you mentioned it to our guests yet or not, but last night I had an awesome opportunity out of Victory Field to sit down and eat with the runner up last year's Indianapolis 500, J.R. Hildebrand.
Oh, I thought you were going to say more. Okay. I was waiting on you to say more. You know, and Josh, it's good to have you on, and so talk with us a little bit about J.R. Hildebrand here. As we stand by, we wait. We're going to have Brett from Mid-Ohio with us talking about what's going on at the Mid-Ohio race course this month. Also at 10:30, I believe we have Mr. Kenny Barr. Actually, I'm not sure if this is this. Ken, are you with us now? Well, I'm not sure, but go ahead, Josh. Josh, are you there?
Yeah. So anyway, last night over at Victory Field, you know, we cover a lot of games. In fact, I've only missed two home games all year.
Okay.
I'm up in the media box, and there walks J.R. Hildebrand. You know, everybody remembers him because he had the win coming out of turn four last year. Walden passed him due to a mishap. I'm not sure if they ever exactly determined what happened to Hildebrand's car. Like he said, he's looking forward to getting back out to the track, finishing what he started last year. He's with a great team. He said he's happy to be back in Indianapolis. He considers it his second home city. And if I could add, he has one drop-dead gorgeous wife.
Well, that's always good. All race car drivers have drop-dead gorgeous wives. Well, joining us now is Mr. Kenny Barr of RadioSpeedTalk.com. Kenny, how are you doing, sir? So glad that you could join us.
I'm doing wonderful this morning, Tom. How about yourself?
Fantastic. And are you on the road, on back to Indianapolis? I know you were picking up your son from college. How's that going?
That's going great. No, I'm here for the weekend, actually. I got a daughter who's stationed in Leavenworth, two grandkids, two granddogs, and I haven't even made it to KU to get the kid yet, so that's this afternoon. So. If you're a big dog in the background, that's an English Mastiff who wants to talk to you, maybe.
I totally understand. You know, that's cool. English Mastiffs, anybody is welcome here on the balance. And by the way, you guys could give us a call, 917-889-8516. Well, this whole show is dedicated to racing, and Kitty, I know we're supposed to be standing by for Brett from Mid-Ohio, but he has not called in yet. Also joining us is our old host, co-host of the show, and a guy pops in from time to time, Mr. $2 Bill, Josh Elmore. Well, we're going to talk about the Indianapolis 500. Obviously, you know, we've got some other races that are going on this weekend, but certainly don't want to overshadow them. But, you know, hey, this is our Indianapolis 500 special. The track is open for practice today. So, you know, here's what I want to do, Kenny, and I did this with your partners in crime. You know, really, I just want to get your thoughts of this year's Indianapolis 500. What are your thoughts, and what are the bar notes for the show? It's time to raise the bar on this show for today.
Yeah, oh boy, or lower the bar, or maybe break the bar in half, or let's just go to the bar and figure out what bar is going to do, or yeah.
Now I vote for the last one. I vote for the latter one. It's 11 o'clock here, or 10:30 here, so, you know, hey, it's cool. I vote for the last one. Go to the bar and figure it out.
It's always 7 o'clock somewhere, Tom. I love that phrase. I love that phrase. Well, Indy's going to be fun. Indy's going to be a blast because of the new chassis and the new engine combination. I know Lotus, I think, is pulled out because they just can't seem to get it together. Chevrolet, my favorite motor of all time anyway, has just been killing them. And the R&D guys are having fun. The aerodynamics are going to be quite interesting with a new super speedway car. And I've been preaching to everybody that watch out for the teams with a lot of money because they're going to dominate. I still feel that way. I always hope that a rookie or somebody coming up out of Indy Lights or some no name or maybe Sam Smith Racing, who's not don't have as deep pockets as some of the others, come up and slap them around a little bit and give them a bad time. But I think the Penske's and the Andretti's and the Ray Halls of the world are probably going to dominate this year.
Right, and you know, we were talking about the rookies a little bit earlier. Obviously, Sarah Fisher has two rookies, and Brian Clausen being one of those, a local boy, and that is just a great. We were just talking about earlier what a monumental feat that is for, you know, one to have two rookie teams at the Indianapolis 500. You got the new chassis to deal with it, and you know, so the things that happen maybe off behind the scenes with Sarah Fisher Racing, where that almost didn't come together, and now for for them to have two teams out there this year. And I'm excited. I'm going to be out there every waking moment that I possibly can be out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Obviously, practice today, being out there and checking out what's going on there. Real quickly, Josh, do you have any thoughts about, before we let you go, Josh, do you have any thoughts on this year's Indianapolis 500?
I'm anxious to see what girl steps up to fill the void left by Danica Patrick. I know the most talented girl in the IndyCar series is Simona DiSilvestro, but Catherine McGay is by far the cutest of the IndyCar drivers that are back in the month of May. So if I had a question for you, Kenny.
Yeah, sure, Farrah.
I can stick around until 11 if you want me to, Tom. But if I had a question for you, Kenny, which girl steps up? Is it Anna? Is it Simona? Is it Catherine? Is it Tipa? Or is it none of them?
I'm going to answer that question with a question. Are you single? Looking for a girl race car driver for a date?
He's always talking about that, isn't he, Kenny?
I wasn't going to go there, but it's kind of surprising by the question. I think that, Allie, it's terrible. I don't know them all by name. I think she's from Sweden, and she was really killing them on the road courses earlier in the year.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Josh is still with us. It's just we're getting a lot of background music, background noise. I don't know if Josh is on the moon or what, but he's in his Darth Vader mode. So we'll get back with him in just a moment. But yeah, you missed the first part of the show, bud. We've teamed up with BanffMagazine.com, and they're going to be out and about with us all summer long at the 500 in different races. And I'm just going to say, just look for all the babes, and you can find us.
Well, the babes run in the other direction, and then up on the core group of the Balance and the team there.
That's right. We're going to have the new Balance Babe Calendar Girls. We digress. But anyway, I wanted to get to it with you, and it's looking more and more like we're not going to have our guy from Mid-Ohio, and that's okay. We move forward. I want to talk about some of the storylines happening out there at IMS this year. And Kenny, I know that you're our guy that we go to that just really kind of helps us understand the under-the-hood type inner workings of it. And I asked Pete the same question. But I really want a more technical answer from you, too, as well. And I want to look at some of the different aspects of what we've got for manufacturing. I asked Pete, I said, how much of a difference does the manufacturer really play in the role? And his response was, Chevrolet is like George Foreman coming out of retirement. My question to you, Chevrolet versus Honda, corporate sponsorship and manufacturer support, I get that. I get the money part of it and our keys to the economic foundation of auto racing. So I get all of that. But as far as the actual engine and the way that it runs, and do you have a faster car with one manufacturer as opposed to the other, especially with everybody having to go through tech and everybody pretty much having the same specs in line?
He compared Chevrolet coming out to George Foreman coming out of retirement.
That's Pete. That's Pete.
Yeah, he said something really unique. No, I think that Chevrolet is in it to win. Honda has been a really, really good motor for a long time. They've been amazingly bulletproof and dependable. I think there's only been one Honda failure in about 8 years. And that's a big-time reputation to hold up against. And which is why Chevrolet pulled all those motors a couple, 3 weeks ago at Long Beach, because they found a little anomaly that could have affected the whole fleet of Chevrolet motors at that race. But they're in a serious business. I mean, they want to kind of roll that into a marketing tool if they can win or dominate or get the top three. They got gobs of money right now to do that with. I think it's terrific. The difference in the motors, Honda's super dependable. So far, Chevy's been super dependable. Chevrolet's making a little bit more horsepower. Most people wouldn't understand why if we got too deep into the mechanic ease, the technical ease of the thing. If Chevrolet stays together and dominates, it's going to be a big thing for General Motors and their marketing racing side of things. And I really see that that's happening because they've got an awful lot of people working on that old program. And if I was racing, I'd go with Chevrolet right now.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, that it's an interesting thing, point that you would say that, because I would go the other way, because just because of the fact of Honda being more experienced out there at the track here in recent years. But, you know, I agree with you. I think everybody knew it was going to be a battle when Team Penske aligned itself with Chevrolet and Chip Ganassi Racing signed with Honda. While Penske has been a dominant Chevrolet team, you know, matched at times, you know, with Andretti Autosport. But Ganassi hasn't always been Honda's top performer. And the Honda runners also were hindered by, you know, a slight disadvantage in the turbocharger efficiency. That, I want to get to that. I want to dig into that turbocharger efficiency question. Is that really an issue?
Yeah, it sure can be. Pounds per square inch of turbocharger can make all the difference in the world, because you got to think that this an engine, really, Tom, is just a great big air pump. And the more air you can get in an engine and make explosions down inside, really simplifying it, the more horsepower you're going to make. And if your turbo isn't pumping the air either efficiently or as many pounds per square inch as fast as it needs to, you're going to hurt on the top end. So, yeah, it really is important. Excuse me. That's one of the tough things that Indy Motor tech guys have trouble regulating, because you just don't know for sure how much air is going through them at any given time. I mean, they got a pretty good idea. I mean, they're close. But it doesn't take but just a whiskers of an advantage for a guy to figure out if you can get that air through the cylinder heads a little bit quicker or a little more efficiently, a little more smoother, depending on how your heads are bored and how the chambers are shaped and how the air gets through there, to make all the difference in the world.
Right, and I want to move on to the other end of the spectrum. Let's talk a little bit about the Lotus brand's return to IndyCars racing. To me, the Lotus brand is a dying breed, and you know, obviously we know about Team Lotus and won many Formula One races and championships, plus the 1965 Indianapolis 500. But the 2012 Lotus IndyCar engine, to me, was a bit problematic. From the start, you know, Chevrolet and Honda were forced to supply more engines than they intended to make up for Lotus's deficiencies, to ensure that there were at least 33 entries in the 500. I don't know that Lotus was not expected to compete, is not expected to compete at the level of industry giants such as Honda and GM, but was expected to supply about 20% of the field. So any thoughts on Lotus?
They were thinking 20% of the field? Wow, that's kind of surprising. Yeah, Lotus didn't realize just how fast these boys are going and how much motor they were going to have to come out with and stuff. I think they were just caught a little bit by surprise, like a kid that's coming out of college football gets into pro football and realizes the game's a little bit faster, a little bit stronger, a little bit harder to play, a little bit harder to read. Although, you know, a ton of F1 experience, you wouldn't think that Lotus would be caught napping like that, but I think that's what's happened here on this side of the world.
Well, and it can't hurt him. I mean, it can't help him any that obviously that Dragon Racing is suing him for somewhere around $4.6 million for a breach of contract. So the legendary manufacturer, I think we've pretty much seen the end of it. Would you agree?
Well, at least this year, and they'll probably back up 10 and punt and see if they can want to really get into it again next year. But for this season, I think Lotus is done.
Well, let's move on to some of the other things that I always like to talk about. And, you know, here right before you came on in the last break, we did a salute to Dan Weldon. Obviously, tragically lost his life, you know. But even before the accident that killed Dan, the new Dallara IndyCar was ultimately named after the late two-time Indianapolis 500 champion and was intended to be a step forward in the terms of safety. That aspect of the new car, How fast, how safe, I guess, is the question to you for this year?
Well, it's as safe as any car that's been built, built previously. They always, every year they come up with a little bit better innovation and stuff, and this year's no exception. it seems to be probably more on the minds of everybody since the Weldon accident. But, you know, I can remember when these cars didn't fly apart and the energy didn't go, you know, 12 different directions when they decided to really tear one up into the concrete stuff. Golly, I remember the Roadsters that I swear they used ropes for seat belts and leather helmets for brain buckets, pretty much. So with all the advantages now, the carbon fiber seats that they got, the Kevlar being used in the bodies and stuff a little bit here and there, the fact that these things are X-rayed, I mean, lower control arms, upper control arms, steering, suspension pieces are all, and that's not really into the design, but that's just the thought process. They X-ray almost every piece on the car to make sure there isn't an internal crack that one can't see that's going to show up during the stresses of the world. They go to every effort to make these Indy cars as safe as possible. I'm going to throw this out at you, Tom, and I kind of want your opinion. We'll change roles a little bit. Some people...
That could be dangerous.
Yeah, it might be, but I think it's an interesting question. Some people think that the popularity of auto racing, which is slowly slipping, not much, but slowly slipping, is because a lot of fans used to watch men go to the edge of danger and a little bit beyond, and that just thrilled the crowds and thrilled people and thrilled fans beyond belief. And the more safety issues we get, and we haven't lost anybody in NASCAR, I think, since Dale, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
The closer we get to better safety, the less dangerous the racing becomes. So a certain section of fans are starting to lose interest. What do you think of that theory?
Well, and I agree with you. I as a race fan, I enjoy that. You're exactly right. The reason why we watch race cars, let's face it, at the end of the day, we like to make fun of this statement, but it's true. At the end of the day, they're just a bunch of cars going in circles. What we like about racing is the fact that you don't have one car. You have 20 cars or 33 cars or whatever it is, especially there in Indianapolis. Come down that back stretch at 200 and 220 miles an hour and really pushing that limit. And maybe it's society, but we like that adrenaline flow. I mean, you know, IndyCar seems to be on the upswing, but there again, NASCAR continues to have serious challenges among them. You know, the surface at Daytona has not been repaved since 1979. Last year, it fell apart on national television, or the year before last, or whatever that was. They spent $20 million to repave it. NASCAR is even discussing simplification of their point system and so forth. Here's what I think happens. When you start messing with what fans like, whether or not it's for safety or whether or not it's for marketing or whether or not it's for economic reasons, that's where you're going to have issues. And let's face it, this new DW12 car is not very popular. It was designed for safety in mind. Obviously, that was the whole reason for it, to keep these cars grounded. But let's face it, we don't like to see situations like Dan Weldon. But we like to see that car go up in the air and spin around and, you know, land. And we just like that feeling of the – and then we're relieved when the driver gets out of the car. But, you know, as tragic as the death of Dan Weldon was, on the other end of the spectrum, deaths aren't as numerous as people would think in this type of a sport. So I think when you start messing with what – fans like, that's when you're going to see that popularity shift in either which way. Was that the politician answer to your question, or?
I don't think that was PC at all. I think that was a pretty good answer, to tell you the truth, Tom.
Okay,
all right. We did a research on right after Weldon's death about death and deaths in racing, starting back up in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and we went international, and there were an awful lot of nasty crashes and deaths. There's a big one in France that's got 82 fans that nobody remembers back in the 50s. There was a nasty one in Dayton, Speedway, that doesn't exist anymore, that was just about an hour and a half east of you where you're at in Indianapolis. I got crazy and got into the stands. And there's a lot of those nasty accidents in history, and most of those have gone away. I want to see the cars go as fast as I can. Being a racer, I lean on the side of I don't want to see anybody crash. But I know that it's part of the racing, and as as long as nobody gets hurt. I mean, I've seen a couple guys killed live, and that's no fun at all to be around that era or that day. But and I see if people get tore up, we saw a lot get tore up down in Winchester. And every time the guys got twisted up down there last week, and the group kind of went ooh and ah, and nobody got hurt, and everybody was hurt.
What? No, I totally agree with you. Well, you know, and we look at some of the other storylines, and we look at some of the drivers who are making a move, if you will, from Formula One over to IndyCar, and we look at Al Alessi. What can people just? One thing I'll say about NASCAR, we could say their names. For the most part, but you know, we look at Formula One. We look at people making that transition from Formula One. Now you talk about a rich man's game. Now there's a rich man's game for you in Formula One, and I'd loved having them here in Indianapolis. You know, maybe there'll be a time when they will return. But the Formula One race car is the most precise race car you'll ever see ever. But you see drivers. Like Alessi, isn't the only F1 veteran who will attempt to make his Indianapolis 500 debut this month. You've got Rubens Barrichello, I hope I said that right, the most experienced F1 driver of all time, with more than 300 starts and 11 race wins, was attracted to the IndyCar series as well. So we see drivers making that move, but then we see drivers such as Danica move over to NASCAR. Why do you think drivers make that choice from one series to the other?
Well, the competitive side of the driver likes the challenge. Ruben B, because I can't pronounce it either, has done everything that he wanted to do in F1. So he's going to come over and just take on the IndyCar as another challenge. He's going to be disappointed in the cars. Because you got to drive them a little more. F1 cars are so technically advanced, but all you got to do is almost like a video game. Sit in them and steer and stomp on the gas pedal. Because everything else is taken care of for you. It's amazing. The Indy cars, you're going to have to drive a little bit more. And why Indy people go to NASCAR? I think the biggest thing is money. You make a lot more money driving a NASCAR car or a nationwide car than you do an Indy car. And if you're not one of the top-tier teams in Indy, you have a hard time winning in Indy. And the only reason Danica was so popular is because she's a girl and she's a little bit fiery.
Absolutely. We are, and we've talked about Danica on this show many, many times. And, you know, it is what it is. She's a marketing babe, and I think that we should read more into that than what it is. But maybe she'll start winning races, and if she ever wins a championship, then I think we'll start looking at her as a real and genuine race car driver. Well, you know, we got to take a quick break, and can you stick around with us?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, stick around with us a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, the tradition of the Indianapolis 500. And you've heard the promo on the show today, guys. My minions have about the Snake Pit, and you know the Snake Pit is open again this year, and just a lot of different traditions that are surrounded by the Indianapolis 500. The history and the tradition. I want to get into that when we get back, guys. This is our Indianapolis 500 special. My name's Tom Marquis. We'll be right back, right here on The Balance.
Yeah.
500. J.R. Hildebrand down along the white line.
They said 2011 was the best finish ever.
Muttering slow and he hits the wall. Will he have enough to cross the yard of brick? Dan Welbin has won the race.
They say that every year. Tickets are on sale now for the next chapter of the greatest spectacle in racing. Be there.
Pump up the jam, pump it up while your feet are thumping. And the jam is pumping. Look at here, the crowd is jumping. Pump it up a little more. Get the party going on the dance floor. See, cause that's where the party's at, and you find out if you do that.
All right, welcome back to The Balance, my minions. My name's Tom Marquis, and the party is here, guys. Pump it up, pump it up. We've got just a few short minutes left. And I want to take these last few minutes that we have left here on our Indianapolis 500, 2012 Indianapolis 500 special. We're talking with Cliff. I'm sorry. We're talking with Kenny Barr. Apologize. Kenny Barr from Indy Pro Sports. I'm just going to start this all over. We're talking with Kenny Barr from RadioSpeedTalk.com. You guys can check everything out. Check them out on IndyProSports.com. There we go. I got it. I'm good. It's all good. You know, one thing I want to make sure about that who we have here is this Brett. Brett, are you on the line with us?
It is Brett. How are you?
I'm good, and we're going to have to, if you'll stand by for just a second, Brett. Kenny, we're going to have to put our conversation on hold because we do have Brett from Mid-Ohio with us. And Brett, I apologize if I say your last name wrong, but it's Robeck?
It's Rubenek, but you're Rubenek. Closer than most get, so that's just perfectly fine.
So I get a point. Well, we're joined with Brett Rubenek of Mid-Ohio Raceway, and so glad that you could join us here on our racing special of The Balance. 2 hours dedicated to talk about IndyCar and the Indianapolis 500. Obviously, you guys out there have the IndyCar series that come out there. Talk to us a little bit about what's going on at Mid-Ohio this year and what can fans expect out at Mid-Ohio this year.
Well, this is kind of an appropriate time to be talking about this with the opening day of practice at the Brickyard today. But on August 3rd through 5th, we are hosting the Indy 200 at Mid-Ohio, the Honda Indy 200 at Mid-Ohio. We're excited that the cars are coming back again this year. There's been several teams out testing already with the new chassis. I think it's going to be a great weekend. Typically, our biggest weekend of the year, kind of the capstone to the year, if you will. And so we can't wait to see the way the rest of the season unfolds, but are really looking forward to the IndyCars visiting us again in August.
And joining us also is Kenny Barr from RadioSpeedTalk.com. Kenny, do you have any questions for Brett from Mid-Ohio?
No, not at all, actually, other than looking forward to going over there again this year sometime or another. I know we're giving away some tickets to the Grand Am Emco Gears Classic on RadioSpeedTalk.com again, I think this week and maybe next. So we're going to send a few fans your way, and hopefully you can win them to be permanent fans.
I hope that as well. Yeah, the Emco Gears Classic, the Grand Am cars visit us June 8th through 10th, and that's kind of the kickoff to our season as far as the big public races go. And then in between there, of course, we've got vintage races, and we've got two weekends of bike racing in July.
I
got to get over there and check out the vintage races. See, I'm probably older than both of you guys. And some of the vintage racing is really kind of neat. So if you've never seen it, or ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't been to Mid-Ohio, it is a really well laid out, beautifully maintained course in the middle of Ohio. Anything road course-ish, if you're going to like it, you got to get over and check it out.
Right, and absolutely, that's what I was getting ready to say. I love going out to Mid-Ohio, Brett. I mean, you've got just such a fan-friendly place to go out there. It's not that far for fans from Indianapolis or, you know, anywhere in the Midwest. They can get to your track relatively easily. And I like going out there. And tell me a little bit about, obviously we got the Vintage Car Series and the IndyCar Series. Tell me about when the IndyCar comes to Mid-Ohio, that's obviously one of your biggest races. What can fans expect when they go out there for the IndyCar race?
Well, if you've never been to Mid-Ohio, it's really a park-like setting. We've got about 330 acres, and there's full campground facilities out at the racetrack. And I appreciate you guys saying it's fan-friendly, because really that's what we want to be, is fan-friendly, approachable. We want everybody to have a great time and enjoy the racing while they're at it, of course. Also on the dock that weekend is the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Challenge. The IMSA American Le Mans cars will be there. They'll be racing on Saturday, so August 4th, rolling up to the IndyCar race on August 5th. And I think it's one of the more unique racetracks left in the United States. I mean, we're in our 51st year of operation. The configuration is pretty much the way it was in the first couple of years that the course ran back in the early 60s. And it's just a great family environment and a place to come spend a great weekend.
And you mentioned that the motorcycles earlier. Now, you guys have a history and have a lot to do with motorcycle racing. And do you not have something called the Mid-Ohio School there as well?
We do. That's one component of our business, which makes us different than most racetracks as well, is that we operate a full-time school, both for cars and for motorcycles. On the car side, you can send your 16-year-old to kind of hone up their skills to make sure that they're going to be safe on the road in case things go wrong, all the way up to race licensing. And we've got probably, in my opinion, the best staff of instructors at any racing school or driving school in the United States. And Brian Till, ex-IndyCar driver, Tommy Byrne, ex-Formula One driver, Todd Snyder is the chief instructor. He is a current Grand Am competitor. And then on the bike side of things, we also run performance track riding programs, which actually start tomorrow in Mid-Ohio, where sport bike enthusiasts come out. And whether they're racers or not, and it doesn't matter what level they're at, if they've never ridden on a racetrack before, it gives them an opportunity to ride on the same racetrack the AMA Pro Racing Stars will be taking to July 13th through the 15th. So the school is a great opportunity for somebody who is either, you know, looking to advance very honed skills on a motorcycle or in a car, or somebody who's never done it before and they just kind of want to dip their toe in the water and see what it's like to do what their heroes do.
Well, Brett, we appreciate you taking some time to join us today. I apologize that we were rushed up against the clock today, but unfortunately we are out of time. But you are always welcome here on the balance, and we'll try to have you back on closer to the IndyCar race for your track there.
Guys, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for having me on, and we look forward to seeing you over the course of the summer, whether it's at the EMCO Gears Classic or at the end of the season towards August 3rd through 5th at the Honda Indy 200.
Thanks very much. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say something. I apologize. Well, Kenny, I'll tell you what, when I get to the end of the show, things start flashing at me. And, you know, a guy with me like ADD, when I get lights start flashing at me, I got to, like, freak out, you know. But when we are out of time, buddy. So we appreciate you stopping by, and hopefully we'll catch up with you here next week and very soon down here in Indianapolis.
Well, we're looking forward to getting that direction. I know that Pete's got a rather aggressive appearance schedule for us, and we got to figure out who's going where, when, what. I know Pete and Cliff are both going to be at the 500. I think I want to. We have visitors. I want to be at the Raceway Park before, but we'll see what's going on with that whole thing. And sooner or later, we'll meet you in person and go out and have some fun, Tom.
That sounds good. All right, Kenny Barr at RadioSpeedTalk.com. Guys, we got to go. We are out of time. So we'll catch up with you guys next week. Make sure you get out to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the first full day of practice.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a bitch, didn't you?
That's all, folks.